you all adults for your patience with the children's story. It's much harder to do it on Zoom than it is. Sandra's nodding her head mightily. It's much harder to do it on Zoom as it is to do it in person. So, but we're grateful for our girls, and we're grateful that they can join us even for a short time. We're going to switch now to our message, and you might think that this is kind of an odd text for Mother's Day, and it is a little odd for Mother's Day, but it is one of the texts in the series that we have been talking about for the appearances of Jesus, right? So this is the second half of the story that we listened to last week about the breakfast on the beach. So I'm going to use the story today for our message. A couple years ago, we had a women's event called Carrying Grandma's Purse. And it was about accepting or discarding our baggage. And we talked about the beliefs and inheritance and the things that we carry with us from our moms, our dads, our grandparents, and our families. And parents, we know, leave a legacy in the lives of their children. And children carry on that legacy. It can be positive. It can be negative. But unless they make a deliberate effort to leave it behind, we carry it with us. And unless God frees us from that legacy, especially the negative things that happened in our lives. In today's story, we know that Peter was a fisherman. His brother Andrew was a fisherman. And maybe his father and grandfather before him were fishermen. And when Jesus comes, he calls Andrew and Peter to follow him to become fishers of people. And Peter leaves that work so that he can
lead the church.
He leaves that work and he's done all his life to follow Jesus. He learns to walk on water. He proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus tells Peter that he is Peter, and on that rock he will build his church. Peter gets to go up to the mountain and see Jesus transfigured. Jesus teaches Peter to pray, teaches Peter and the disciples about forgiveness and about serving others. Peter goes out with the disciples. Jesus sends them out and he preaches. He does miracles. He sees Jesus heal person after person after person. He sees Jesus cast out demons. Peter sees people being brought back from the dead. He sees Jesus calm a storm. And he sees Jesus feed multitudes of people and help them catch loads of fish just by casting their net on the other side of the boat. And Peter is amazed and loves this, all this learning through Jesus. But then Jesus starts talking about dying. And then they have the Last Supper together, and Peter can't believe it. He can't quite understand the turn that this relationship, that this friendship with Jesus is taking. He declares his absolute loyalty to Jesus. He says, "Jesus, I will never deny you." But Jesus, when he says that, Jesus just kind of shakes his head and he tells Peter, "You will deny me, not just once, but three times." And when they go to the garden and they pray, Peter falls asleep. And after a time, Jesus is arrested. And through the night, Peter does deny Jesus three times before the rooster crows in the early morning hours. Peter is heartbroken. He's ashamed and he's lost and he's confused. What happened? How could he have done this? Was all this a lie? Was this whole thing with Jesus meaningless? And Peter, then the women report that they see Jesus alive. And then Peter and the other disciples, they see Jesus alive. But Peter doesn't know if he could come back from his denials of Jesus. He has done a terrible thing. When Jesus needed him most, he wasn't by his side. Could Jesus forgive him? Would Jesus forgive him? What does it matter? He couldn't forgive himself. So he went back to fishing. He went back to what he knew before Jesus. It was safer. It was simple. It was less confusing. But it did not bring him peace. It did not set him free. And the legacy of fishing, that what he knew was not satisfying anymore. In the story that we read last week, the disciples went fishing at Peter's suggestion, but they didn't catch any fish all night. Peter, the expert fisherman, couldn't catch any fish. And when the man on the beach suggested that they cast in on the other side, his heart quickened. Hey, hadn't Jesus done that before? Told them to cast on the other side? It didn't make sense the first time, but he did it. And it didn't make sense this time, but Peter still obeyed. And again, the nets were full of fish. Peter jumps out of the boat into the water, realizing that this is Jesus. They all come to the shore, and Jesus feeds them breakfast. Jesus. I can imagine that Peter was so happy to see Jesus again. And Jesus had changed his life in so many ways. But would Jesus accept him back after what he had done? Jesus hadn't said anything about it all the other times that Jesus had appeared to them. Peter felt really, really nervous. John 21:15 says, when they were finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" As if he was unsure of Peter's love. "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." "Very truly I tell you, Peter, that when you were younger, you stretched yourself, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me." The words echoed in Peter's mind. The first time that Jesus had called Peter, he said, "Oh, follow me and I will send you out to fish for people." And they had done that, and they would keep doing that. And Peter remembered that he had said yes to following Jesus back then, and realized that he had grown to love Jesus in the process. And now Jesus was asking him if Peter loved him. "Yes, yes, I love you, Jesus." And then Jesus asked him to take care of the sheep, the followers of the Good Shepherd. Jesus was asking Peter to feed them with the good news, to feed them with the truth about God and Jesus. And again, Jesus is talking about suffering and death, just like he did about his own suffering. But now he's talking about Peter, that someday he would, when he's old, that he would stretch out his hands and someone would dress him and lead him where he did not want to go. And Jesus made it clear that he was talking about the kind of death that Peter would suffer in order to glorify God. Peter, Jesus was saying, will you follow me even to death? Well, we know from the scriptures that Peter did, and he became a great leader in the church, became a great pastor and shepherd to the sheep of the early church. So, like any story in the Bible, when we look at it, we want to try to think what we can learn from the story. How can we apply this story to our lives? Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts." And in Matthew, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was in the law, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." When I was ordained, on the Sunday of my ordination, I chose this story about Peter and these verses about loving God and how our love for God drives us to serve God and love others. And if I love God, for me, that means that I will continue to follow that and continue to be God's followers. For you, these verses might mean something different. But in John 14, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me." And what are the commandments again? The most important ones that Jesus said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. When life gets complicated, like it is right now, when things get all messed up and it's hard to sort things out, these are the two most important things, the two most important commandments that we can follow. It takes all the complications down to these simple and yet not so simple verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love yourself, love your neighbor, love God. And also in this story, we can see that Jesus forgives Peter. Later in his ministry, Peter will write in 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." So the second thing that we can learn is that forgiveness and love can cover a multitude of sins. Peter knew that Christ's love for him covered his sins. And Jesus sets him free from the guilt and this legacy that he had of denying Christ. We know the story that at one time Peter denied Christ, but that story does not define Peter. Peter's love and Peter's service and the way that Peter fed the sheep is the way that he is defined. The love for Christ defined him and his obedience to follow Jesus. First, leaving behind his fishing nets, and second, leaving behind his fear of suffering to follow Jesus. So today, we celebrate our mothers and remember legacies that they have left in our lives, let's remember that with God's help, we can sort through the baggage that they have left us. We can accept what makes us strong, what makes us feel loved, and that which draws us closer to God. And we can discard the shame and the hurt and the guilt that keeps us from loving God, ourselves, and others. God defines us all as beloved people. He calls us to love God, to love ourselves, and to love others in obedience to Him. Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" And we answer, "Yes, Lord, we love you. Yes, we love you." Do you have a word to add? Maybe a word about your mother, or a word about being a mother, or maybe just a word about loving Jesus and what difference that's made in your life, what God has freed you from. Just want to open up this time for a time of sharing, a word of tribute, or a word of response to the message today.